All right, let us now talk to Mark Pittman. Mark is the fundraiser coach, not a fundraiser coach, the fundraiser coach. He's here to talk about charitable donations. How are you, Mark? Nice to talk to you.
You know, I was doing really well until I got on the air and heard all this Blackhawk talk.
Oh, why do you say that?
Which is a Boston's guy that the Crawford had been pulled. That might have been a jar better.
You would have been okay with that? Are you a Bruins fan?
Well, yeah, I'm a situational fan because I grew up in Red Sox Nation. So I know that I just cheer for the Boston teams, whether they're doing badly or not, and they'll probably let us down. But the Bruins, you know, I was really gutting it out all three overtimes last, you know, the other night.
You know what? I said this to Dave, who you were just hearing a second ago. I said this to Dave yesterday. If there was any doubt about this team among Blackhawk fans, is this the best team we're going to play in the Stanley Cup Finals? All those concerns were quickly melting away because the Bruins brought their game. They looked fantastic.
It was a fun game to watch. My wife has been saying this all the time. We don't normally watch sports much, but she said she calls it a gorgeous game to watch. It was really tight. People really, they both brought their game, and you could see why they both made it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yep. And because of the hour time difference, I wish you had called me up, Mark, and told me how it ended, because you got to find out an hour before me, didn't you? I'm not good with time.
Actually, you know, full confession, I went to bed. Hey, we had the power play going into the third overtime.
I know.
How could we blow that?
I know. The 5-on-3. I know. All right, let us, if you wouldn't mind, talk about the charitable donations, which is why we brought you here. Here's a concern, and I know you hear this all the time, Mark. People say, I want to give money. There's something terrible has happened somewhere in the country or somewhere in the world, and I want so badly to help. I want to send some money, but my main concern is that the right amount of money won't go to that charity. You hear this all the time. What's going on with that?
Isn't it awful?
Yeah.
There's always, ever since the beginning of, I guess, humanity, there have been people that want to take advantage of our instincts to do good.
Yep.
And thwart it. So I think part of what inspired this call was, did you see that list from Tampa?
I did.
The nation's 50 worst charities.
Yep.
It just kills people like me because you know that the people that are raising, I was just looking at the financials for the Kids Wish Network, one of the scams, $17 million. And you know that they're preying on, you know, your grandmother and your great aunt who just is sitting at home trying to do the right thing and sending in their checks because they keep getting letters in the mail. It's awful.
I've heard people say, people with saltier tongues than me, say that there's a special place in hell reserved for people that would do this, that would prey on people. Because you're really doing two different people a disservice. You're stealing money from people who think they're giving to a good cause, and you're also kind of besmirching the name of whoever's just gone through something terrible.
Totally true, especially when you see disaster relief. And it's amazing to me how the names of these organizations, the creativity that if it were funneled for good would be powerful because they'll take any disaster relief and then they'll create their own little charity. We saw even in Haiti, Wycliffe Jens seemed to be maybe do that because his charity doesn't seem to have given out much money. You know, it's almost like they'll take the Red Cross, which is a wonderful disaster relief organization, and they'll call themselves the Red Crutch.
Yep.
And then they'll, you know, set up a boiler room and just start raking in money. But there are ways that donors can help avoid that. And so I guess the good news is if there's a silver lining with these bad apples is that there's a few, especially in our internet age, there's a few things that donors can do to help avoid getting sucked into scams. And that's what excites me.
All right, let's do this, Mark. If you wouldn't mind, in a moment, we'll come back and we'll talk about some of those ways, because really, if you have it in your heart to give money to a charity, the last thing you want to worry about is the right amount of money going, if at all, going to the charity that it's intended to go to. Mark Pittman is joining us, the fundraiser coach. We'll talk more in just a little bit. This is WGN. It is Bill Leff with you on WGN. Jonathan Brammer is going to make his way in about 10 minutes. My guest is Mark Pittman, fundraising coach. His website is fundraisingcoach.com. His book is Ask Without Fear. We're talking about how you know if your charitable donation is going to the charity in which it's intended. A little while ago, Mark, you brought up an article, a really, really nice expose that was written in the Tampa Bay Times about just this. And they say in there, they're talking about some of the worst charities in America. They tell the story of the Kids Wish Network, which over the years has raised $110 million. And of that $110 million, they have given $4.8 million two charities. The rest they have kept. This is a roughly 3 cents on the dollar. How do they get away with this?
Well, I think it's because there's a couple of things, and one of them is in the article, is that the regulators that cite them, there's no teeth for the regulations. So when they're fined, they're only fined a few hundred dollars.
So they can certainly afford it. Yeah, it's a great investment.
Yeah. Still get to keep tens of millions of dollars.
But don't you have to apply to get some sort of a license to be a recognized charity? And how is somebody giving them a license with these sort of results?
Well, I think part of what we need to remember is that these are outliers. I'm not at all advocating what they do, but we have over a million and a half charities in the United States alone. Over the last 8 years, there's been 700 or 800 new 501c3 charities approved by the IRS. And it's another statistic, with 10,000 boomers reaching retirement age every day,
yeah,
there's more and more people that are looking, what's the second half going to be like? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? What's my meaning? What's my legacy? So there's going to be more and more charities. So 50, I don't even know what the decimal point of 1.5 million versus 50 is. But these are the really bad extremes. Having said that, I think part of it is the regulation, the oversight, the states are swamped. And I think donors are not necessarily doing as the due diligence that they should. I mean, one of my first things I tell donors is just don't give money over the phone.
As a rule, if somebody calls you up and says, look, there's been a disaster and we're putting together a fund to help the families, if it's over the phone, you say stay away.
Well, it seems almost like having those emails from the your long-lost Nigerian prince relative, saying, I've got this estate I'm going to give you. Yes, I would say stay away. Send me something in the mail or go to a reputable site. There's a lot of good disaster relief organizations out there. In fact, I was just learning with the Chronicle of Philanthropy was saying, I think it was reporting last with the last disaster in the tornado area, or it was Tess Viglin on NPR, was saying that gift cards are the way to go. If you can mail gift cards to organizations, that's even more, it's easier to get into people's hands than cash. And we have a tendency as Americans of sending clothes and food, which is sometimes the last thing people need. They need diapers. They don't need food. So gift cards allow the organizations to actually use it for donors. So you know that it's going to go right into donors' hands or victims' hands. And it also gives you some sense of control over that.
It's funny you say that about food, because I think most of us would just have a natural inclination to think whenever something bad goes on, I've got to send them food because, the grocery stores have been decimated. I'm going to send some food. It's going to help people. But I've seen announcements several times of late where they say, please, no more food. We can't take food. Or toys, I see also. Don't send kids any more toys. We're filled up with those.
Do you remember Doctors Without Borders is one of the organizations that, as a fundraising guy, I totally admire, because in the Haiti crisis, they ended up, do you remember them saying, please stop sending us money?
Yeah. How about that? Stop sending us money. How does that happen?
Well, because when you designate a gift to a disaster relief, technically it's supposed to stay in that fund.
Yeah.
You've put that string attached to it, so they can't use it for anything else but those reliefs. And they knew they're planning enough to be able to say, okay, there's no way we can take more for this. If you'd like to give to our other stuff we're doing around the world, we'd love that. But please stop. I thought that was one of the best pieces of charity-related media that could ever come, because they're forever. I'll be talking about how they're saying, please don't send us any money.
Yeah.
But what donors can do, have you heard of GuideStar.org?
I have not. What is GuideStar.org?
GuideStar, all the charities that are past the IRS scrutiny of becoming a 501c3, even though we've called that into question already this morning, have to report on their finances every year. So GuideStar.org collects all those. They're called the 990 that the charity puts out. It shows what their fundraising expenses are. It shows what their program expenses are. It shows what the top salaries of their top employees are, the top five officers or employees. There's a ton of free information on the web. And I just pulled up the Kids Wish Network. I think that's the one in Florida.
It is.
It's all here. There's stuff here. And it's not necessarily the easiest to read. But even on the first page, you can see that they raised a ton of money. And they spent over 50% of that in fundraising expenses. And so I'm not a big advocate of saying a hard and fast overhead percentage, but that should be a red flag. If that much money is going out, you need to look a little further. Is this systemic? Are they spending a lot of money on outside things that aren't cause related? Or is it strategic? If it's strategic, just like a business, nonprofits need to grow. So there are times they're going to invest more heavily in marketing and in fundraising so that they have the lifelong donors that they're going to establish from that.
Mark, I know there's always going to be overhead costs to anything like this, but is there some sort of a standard, a safe standard? Is it 5%? Is it 10%? What should the overhead cost be for any given charity? Is there a certain number?
Yeah, this is where I don't like those rating organizations like charity watchdog groups that say, well, overhead should never be more than 35% or 10% or whatever, because it changes. And it's harder, even especially in cash-strapped times like now, where we have the talent that's coming into the nonprofit space and is extremely sophisticated and can command a good salary. And organizations need that kind of skill level.
Yeah.
So it's a very complicated one. I've heard a lot of people say 35%. I've heard other things, but then you get that forces charities into this weird accounting thing of, well, that's not overhead. Those employees over there aren't overhead because they're actually doing missions. Yeah. So we're going to count them as program costs, not as administrative costs. And it somewhat becomes an accounting shell game.
Deceiving.
That.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's sort of like sick days. Are you really sick, or is it a mental health day? You know, how do you account for those sick days that you take when you're an employee?
You can't. That is Mark Pittman, fundraising coach. His website is fundraisingcoach.com. His book is Ask Without Fear. His hockey team is the Boston Bruins. Mark, I hope your team comes in a very close second place. Is that fair?
And I hope you're wrong.
All right, we'll see what happens. Mark, thanks very much. I hope you have a great Father's Day. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.